I'm Tina Lee. Welcome to my podcast, Joy for Half a Cent. Upon turning 50, I'm making my dream of documenting half a century of stories a reality. I can't wait to share today's tale with you. Today's story is The Bully. Today I'm finishing up my 28th year of teaching, packing up the classroom, getting all the checklists turned in. And so before I get off for summer, I just wanted to sit down and share this story about the bully with you. In my teaching career, I've seen the word bully sort of morph into a different meaning. Bullying used to mean getting the crap beat out of you. And now bullying is a lot more subtle. And children who get looked at sideways, we get phone calls at school that their child is being bullied. So we're much more sensitive to that word bullying today, especially since the whole campaign about bullying took off. I'm not in support of bullying in any way. It's just sometimes children have a way of dealing with things themselves. And sometimes certain behaviors can be curbed and sort of, you know, brought back to where they need to be by children, and adults really don't need to intervene. This is a story of a more old school bully, the kind that would push you around, steal your lunch money, you know, cram your face into the dirt, that kind of bully. This was in first grade. My son Crawford was a good student. He was the youngest in his grade all the way through. I was torn. Do I move him ahead because he knows all of, he can count to 1,000, you know, he can read, or do I hold him back and just wait another year because he does have that late August birthday? In the end, after deliberating and thinking a lot about it, we decided to move him ahead. Just let the boy be his little brainiac self and get academic. Well, that was good in some ways. In other ways, socially, he was always a little bit behind the eight ball. But there was another child in his first grade class who had been held back multiple years. And when you compared their sizes, one looked like David and one looked like Goliath. My son was David. And so raising him, I noticed that his mood and his attitude and his whole persona had changed, and he started saying the night before that he was ill. He didn't feel like he could go to school the next day, and so I knew there was something to it. I had to get to the bottom of it. He didn't rat the bully out right away, but eventually after me digging and digging and digging, I found out that Goliath was picking on him. And this was every day. This was, you know, in the hidden places on the playground, away from the teachers. It was in the bathrooms when nobody was looking. This bully, he was good at it. You know, he knew when to take the opportunity to smash his face in the toilet or on the wall or wherever. Let me back up right here and tell you about my childhood. I was raised with pretty much all girls. A sister, the cousins that we were closest to were girl cousins. I did not know much about boys, and then I wound up having three sons. So I relied a lot on my husband to teach me about boyhood and what's normal and what's not. So when we discovered that Crawford was being bullied in first grade by this much bigger kid, my husband's reaction was violence. I wasn't a fan of this right away. I was reserved. Like, can we not handle this some other way? And he assured me that there was no other way to handle a bully except to take him down and let him know how tough you are. And trust me, after he does this, then he's not going to have any more problems, Tina. He will be fine. This bully will become his best friend. I had my doubts. I also had my doubts that Crawford would survive this bully after he picked a fight with him. But here were my husband's instructions, because Crawford had been into wrestling, okay? So the instructions were, all right, you wait till recess, You get him away from the teachers, like he's been getting you away. Somehow you get him away, and then I want you to do the double leg takedown. That's your move. You're good at this. You can do it. I don't care how big he is. You run that move with all of your might, and you're going to get him in the ground. And then when you've got him on the ground, I want you to look him in the eye, and you tell him before you'll let him up, he has to say uncle. You don't let him up until he says uncle. Those were the instructions. My husband went over this game plan at least a dozen times just to make sure he knew what he was supposed to do. He had his marching orders, and he would make Crawford repeat it back to him. So we're going to call the bully Buddy for this episode. So he was ready for Buddy. He got up that day. They went through the game plan again, and this was the day it was going down. And the thing that my sweet little Crawford was most worried about was getting in trouble. If I do that, they're going to send me to the principal's office, and I'm going to get in big trouble. And my husband said, look, you are probably are going to get sent to the principal's office after you do this, but you will not be in trouble by me or your mama. You got to handle this like a man. And all day at work, my husband and I could not think of anything else except, is Crawford safe? Is Crawford going to get killed? How is it going? So we worried about it all day. And at that time, the younger grades, first grade, got out at 2 o'clock, where the rest of the students got out at 3 o'clock. So I still had a class from 2 to 3, but I told my kids, if you will be quiet and do your homework at the back table, you can come and sit. And he was always good. So he would come in while I kept waiting for him to come to my door, and didn't see him. So I get a knock on the door, and I run to my classroom door, and it's my husband. He's taken off work to come early to see how things went. He wants a play-by-play of how everything went and to make sure our son was still living and breathing. So he comes in and sits down, and I said, well, he should be here in just a few minutes. So sure enough, a few minutes later, Crawford comes into my classroom. Crawford walks in my classroom door, and oh my goodness, he's this tiny little thing, and his jeans are ripped, his shirt's dirty and untucked, he's got scratches on his face, his hair's all a mess. He looks like he has been beat to a bloody pulp. And we thought, oh no, this can't be good. So I tried to get back to my classroom and resume teaching, which was hard, but I was going to let him tell his daddy what happened. And we did know that he had been in the office for fighting. We had gotten that phone call earlier in the day, so we knew that he was being talked to by administration. So as I'm trying to teach, trying to watch the conversation that's taking place in the back of my classroom between Crawford and my husband, it looks, I don't know, promising, not promising, kind of back and forth. And then all of a sudden, my husband just busts out laughing. And I thought, what in the world? So Crawford had given him the play-by-play of everything that happened. And I got it later. And it went something like this. Dad, we got out on the playground, and I made up something, and I got Buddy away from the teachers in the same spot that he gets me away from the teachers. And I got back there, and I did it just like you told me. I ran at him, and I ran my wrestling move, and I got him to the ground, and I held him down, and I looked him right in the eye. I got right in his face, and I looked him right in the eye. And I said, I'm not going to let you up till you say grandpa. And that was how it went down. Buddy was made to say grandpa before he could get up. And Buddy looked just as bad as Crawford that day. They were both tangled up and dirty and muddy and scratched up. But I will say, from that point on, my husband had a point, and he knew something about little boys, because from that point on, Buddy and Crawford were friends, and Buddy had respect for Crawford, and he, if somebody was picking on Crawford, you better watch out, because Buddy was going to be right behind you taking care of him. And what's funny is, I think it took Buddy a while to graduate. I think he graduated, I'm not sure, because he moved schools, But I ran into Buddy about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and we were in a store, and he'd slimmed up, but he was still real tall and muscled up. You know, he was wearing a wife beater and some ripped up jeans, and he looked real tough. He looked real tough. But as soon as he saw me, he just melted. He said, "Is that you, Miss Lee?" And I said, "Yes, it's me." And the first thing he said after he said hello to me, he said, "How's Crawford doing? I just loved him. He was such a good friend to me." So I learned something about little boys that day. And I learned that sometimes little boys just have to get tough with each other. But the more we have allowed our children to handle themselves, it turns out way better than us getting involved. And that was one of the first times that we had to kind of let the rope out and let one of our children handle a tough situation on their own. But it worked out really well. And we were really proud of Crawford that day for standing up for himself and putting that Buddy the Bully in his place. That's all I've got for today, guys. If you are a teacher, you deserve a long, drawn-out summer with lots of relaxation and rest time. Some people don't get it. They think it's the dreamiest job in the world to work and then be off every summer. But I promise, if you stepped foot into our classroom, you would understand those months are needed for our sanity and to regroup and to come back as good and positive and loving teachers. Guys, I hope you have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening in to today's story on Joy for Half a Cent. Have a great day, and I'll have another story soon. Goodbye.